welcome to the Sister Speak True Blood podcast, where we discuss everything about the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 24. Let's get started.
Okay, you're doing the recap.
All right. I'm Sister K, and I'm doing the recap on I Smell a Rat.
Why don't you give what the True Blood episode is?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's our episode 24.
Okay.
Okay, so we start out with Sookie finding out that she is a fairy. Mm-hmm. And that's the first scene when she's like, I'm a fairy? And Bill is telling her that Claudine told him about this in what looked like Bontemps Cemetery, but he knows was somewhere else, some alternate universe, reality, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he is telling her that he saw Claudine and that she didn't tell him at first, but he knows that he cares for her and wants to protect her. And so Claudine told him that that's what Sookie is. He says that Claudine is very afraid for her, and Sookie asks him, why is that? And he says, because every supernatural being that he knows or that he has ever met thinks that all the fairies, or fae, as they call it, were wiped out of existence by vampires. And Sookie's looking kind of freaked out. And then we get into the opening credits. And we come back and Sookie is asking Bill, why does everyone think the fairies were wiped out? He tells her that according to legend, fairy blood is delectable and intoxicating to vampires. He tells her that her blood is the most delicious he's ever tasted. And he thinks that because he had her blood, or so much of her blood, that was how he was able to go into that dream state, which allowed him to meet Claudine. Sookie kind of looks at him and asks him if her blood is the reason why he has feelings for her. And Bill tells her no, that at first it drew him to her, but after that, his love grew into something deeper. He tells her that he loves her, and it's not her blood that he loves, but her. And he also says that he is going to swear to never taste another drop of her blood if that's what it takes to convince her that he's serious. And then we move on, and we see Jason and Tara at the back of Merlot staring at each other. And Jason is flashing back to shooting eggs, and Eddie dying, so he's kind of freaking out a little bit because this is more gory and death and destruction. Tara kind of snaps out of her little daze and tells Jason to dig, and then finally gives him, digs in all that mucky, junky, nasty blood and pulls out Franklin's clothes and tells Jason to take them so they can burn them later. He runs off to the truck, and she starts kicking dirt over the rest of the mess that was Franklin to try to hide some of the evidence of what they've done. Tara then jumps in the car with Jason, and they speed off. We next see Lala Lafayette stopping the truck at his house, and Jesus and Crystal are yelling at him, "What are you doing? We need to get to the hospital." He tells them that Calvin is not going to make it to the hospital and that they need to do something now. So Jesus takes him out of the car, Calvin out of the car, and takes him up to Lafayette's porch. Lafayette pours several drops of V into Calvin's mouth and tells them all just to wait a few minutes. We instantly see Calvin start to heal, and all of the bruises and cuts and torn up face is going away, and he starts blinking and breathing properly and wakes up. Crystal is real happy and hugs him, but Calvin is upset that she let two gay men give him vampire juice. She tells him that they saved his life, and he smacks her across the face and runs into the woods. Crystal runs after his ass, which I wouldn't have done. And Calvin tells her that this is what happens when she turns her back on family. He says that she runs off. He gets his ass kicked by a shifter and all this stuff. So anyway, he says that they're not supposed to mix and that Jason is not going to want her when he finds out what she really is. He tells her it's her duty to mate with Felton. bear his babies. She says that she doesn't love Felton, and he says, you don't have to love him, but lay with him, bear his kids, and keep the bloodline going since you jacked my bloodline all up. She tells him that she's not going to go back there, and she runs off now. He yells after her and tells her that she is dead to him and is no more his daughter. So we next see Sam going into his trailer. He's upset. He takes a bottle of whiskey to pour over his knuckles, and which, of course, are sore and all bloody from beating up Calvin.
That's got to burn.
Yeah. And then he starts drinking the whiskey himself. He reminisces and thinks back. So we go into a back, we call it flashback, of him and a girlfriend who I never caught her name.
I don't think they gave a name,
and I didn't look it up. Him and a girlfriend coming into a hotel room laughing, or an apartment, and dumping out all this jewelry that they've apparently stolen from a business or something. She asks him how he does it, how he's able to sneak into places without setting off an alarm. And he tells her that maybe one day he'll tell her. For this point, he's just hugging her and laughing and kissing on her. They start kind of making out, and a guy comes out of a back room with a gun and puts it up to Sam's head and tells him that he had to see this coming, that there's no way a girl like her would ever go with a guy like Sam. So she starts snatching up all the jewelry and getting ready to leave when the man knocks Sam over the head with a gun. Sam falls to the ground and is kind of looking pitiful as he watches them run out the door. We get back to the present time, and we see Sam drinking down more of the whiskey and throwing the bottle against the wall, making it shatter. We next see Eric meeting with his lawyer in Fantasia, with Pam pacing behind him. He's trying to finalize his will and wants her to be covered in case he's not able to come up with a plan to defeat Russell Edgington. The lawyer tells him that he needs two witnesses, and so he calls in Yvetta. He has Yvetta sign in front of the lawyer along with him, and the lawyer congratulates Pam on becoming a wealthy vampire if Eric meets the true death. Yvetta is upset and mad that he didn't think of her and try to give her anything. He tells her all he offered her was sex and a place to be. She's upset, and they're both cussing each other out in Russian. And he tells... She says, do I mean nothing to you? And he tells her she means less than nothing to him because she is a gold digging hoe.
Oh, Lord.
She stomps off, and then Pam gets mad and stomps off telling him that he's a cold hearted bastard. So we next see Bill in Jason, I guess it's, I don't know where they're at, but he's looking at a news story with Nan Flanagan while Sookie sleeps on the couch. And Nan is talking about King Russell's murder of the news reporter and how he is an extremist and terrorist, but that's not because he's a vampire, it's just because that's what he is. There's a knock on the door, and Bill turns the TV off and opens it up to see Eric. He goes outside to talk to Eric so he doesn't disturb Sookie, and probably so she don't hear nothing. Mm-hmm. And Eric is telling Bill that he knows what Sookie is. Bill's looking all shocked and like, aw, shit. And Eric asks Bill if it's true that her blood can let him walk in the sunlight. Now Bill really looks surprised that Eric knows this. Mm-hmm. And Eric smirks and says, yeah, Sophie Ann didn't tell you the real reason she wanted Sookie? And Bill's like, he just tries to play it off and say, well, you know, I just came home to where I was from after the war and all this stuff. Eric tells him to spare him all the lies, and so Bill goes ahead and tells Eric that her blood does delay the sun's effect, but that this still burns. Eventually, just kind of dulls it for a little bit. Eric tells Bill that he killed Talbot, and Russell's after him. Bill realizes this and tells Eric to tell him the truth, what his agenda is. Eric gets mad and tells him to tell the truth to Sookie if he really loves her. At this point, Sookie kind of walks up behind him, which I don't know how they didn't hear her, but they was too busy into it. And she's asking, what truth? Bill's looking all Hing D tries to play it off and says the truth about what you are. You know, what we was already talking about, baby. Eric tells her he won't be around much longer and wishes her the best, and her and Bill are both kind of looking at him crazy. We are back at Merlot's, and Tommy and Jessica are cleaning up the floor where Sam tore up Calvin. And Arlene is watching TV where we see a news, well, not really news, but like a little evangelical program with Steve Newland. And he is talking about the act of Russell Edgerton was a blessing because it revealed the true nature of vampires to the world. And he, and the best line of this was, he says, if I was less of a Christian, I would say, told ya.
I like it.
I like that. So Tommy is kind of irritated and it's like, I guess we're going to be the only ones cleaning up around here, huh? And Arlene says she is not going to be cleaning up the floor when there are vampires out there eating people or killing up people. Arlene tells Jessica it was just a matter of time before one of the vampires, one of y'all, got caught on film. Jessica gets up with her vampire speed and grabs Arlene and pushes her against the wall and tells her to keep her mouth shut, that she doesn't like skinny bitches with bad dye jobs. But she keeps the shit to herself and she wants Arlene to start doing the same. Arlene kind of looks at her and goes, okay. And then Jessica lets her go. As Arlene's running out the room, she's saying, well, at least I ain't evil. So as soon as she gets out of the room, Jessica looks kind of sad or, you know, sorry that she did that and says, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. Tommy tells her it was exciting to see her do it and that her fangs are hot. So Jessica's kind of looking uncomfortable and kind of walks away, and he asks her why she's not with Hoyt, and if Hoyt ever tells her that. And she says, no, Hoyt is too good for her, and that's why she's not with him. Tommy gets kind of trying to be kind of cute and says, well, he's not too good for her, and tries to get reach in for a kiss, but Jessica kind of runs away after looking kind of scared. Knowing she could tear his ass up.
Yeah, she could tear him up.
We see Hoyt and Summer in his truck driving up, at probably to drop her off, and she calls him Bear, first of all, and he's like, Bear? And she tells him that she wants to fill the distance that she can fill between them by offering herself to him. He's looking at her like, what? I don't want to do all that. She's like, well, I know it's going to take you a while to get used to be having somebody who's warm, but I think you might like it. And so that's all we see of that. We next go to Jason and Tara entering Jason's house with all them bloody clothes after they done probably burned up Franklin's clothes. And they are shocked to see Sookie and Bill there. Tara is eyeballing Bill suspiciously, and Sookie's asking them what the heck happened. So Jason kind of says there was some trouble at Merlot's, and Sookie asks Jason if she can stay there a few days. Tara is looking at Bill saying, what did you get her into now? And Sookie's trying to tell Tara to just let it go, to quit saying stuff like that. And Bill's like, oh, it's okay. And she's like, no, it's not okay, which is irritating. And so she tells Jason that she needs to stay there because there's a couple of werewolves and a vampire after her. Jason's looking all kind of worried about that. And so is Tara. She's like, oh, and they come in here? That's just great. So Bill tells Sookie it's almost done and he's going to go to ground nearby in case they need him, and motions for Jason to follow him outside. Tara starts walking off towards the back room when Sookie stops her and tells her, and is getting ready to tell her to not be saying stuff, that she knows she's been through some stuff, but still, when Tara cuts her off and says, look, I don't like them vampires. I'm going to stay away from all them fools. And Bill, your Bill ain't no different. And Sookie's trying to tell her, well, that's the man that I love. And Tara says, well, that's just too bad. They all need to be dead for real. Because they tie you up. They gag you. They try to turn you. They rape you. And Sookie's listening to her with her eyes getting wide and wider and said, Franklin did all that to you? And Tara kind of starts breaking down and says, yes. And yo, man that you love didn't lift a finger to help me. So Sookie kind of grabs her and gives her a hug, and they both are kind of crying at this point, which is a kind of cool scene. We see outside Bill is asking Jason if he has a gun, And Jason's telling him, yes, he does, in the truck. He's got a shotgun. And Bill tells him that werewolves are quick and have to be shot between the eyes. And you have to be quick about it. You can't be messing around. Jason looks uncomfortable, tells him, okay, he's got it. He can do it. And Bill runs off and goes to ground. We next see Jesus. And he is in the living room with Lafayette, telling Lafayette that he wants to start doing some V because he thinks it's magic. Lafayette is telling him it's unpredictable and you can't predict the effect it's going to have on you. And it all depends on who you're with and what you're doing. Jesus doesn't seem scared. He kind of walks over to Lafayette, and gives him a drop from his finger and takes the drop also. So then they both going to be tripping. Back at Merlot's, we see Arlene, Tommy, and Holly, the new waitress, watching the news as they work. And they hear a story about a special forces raid on Russell Edgington's house. We find out that there was nothing or no one in the mansion, and which makes us think about Sophie Ann. Or it made me think about that. Sam comes into the room, and everyone's being extra nice to him. Arlene is apologizing for having the TV too loud. Terry comes in and says sorry for being late, but he's really 15 minutes early. And so everybody's kind of tiptoeing around him. When he says, look, y'all, the guy, you can quit being nervous. You can relax. Lafayette called me. The guy did not die. He's alive and well. So everything can go back to normal. Everyone kind of sighs in relief and kind of goes back to the work. Holly comes up to him and hands him a pill bottle full of what he thinks is weed. She says, no, it's, I forgot the name of it.
Black cohosh.
Cohosh, yeah. Black cohosh, which is going to help him with his rage, which he seems to have a lot of.
His high testosterone levels. That's what she said.
She tells him that she's a Wiccan and that she helps people with remedies. That's what she does. Mm-hmm. Sam tells her that he has two rules in his bar. No dancing and no religion. And gives her back the cohosh. Tommy comes up to Sam and tells him that he shouldn't have said anything about the guy living because people were just then starting to give him some respect. Sam, of course, tells Tommy that he was dumb for thinking that he had respect just for that. And Tommy said he was proud of him that night, and that's when Sam really tells him, you're dumb for that. We see Terry smoking out back by the trash dump when Arlene comes out with a bag of trash. He tells her, oh, no, no, secondhand smoke's no good, and picking up heavy stuff is no, no, no good. So he takes the trash from her and throws it away and drops down his cigarette. She starts crying, and he's like, what's going on? Are you okay? You having any bad cramps? What's the matter? And she busts out and starts crying and telling him that he is not the father and that Renee is, and she wants to get rid of the baby because it's evil. Terry just looks at her, and you can see all this stuff going across his face. It's so cute. And he finally says, no, I want to marry you, and I want to have this baby, and we're going to surround it with so much love, it's not going to know what to do. She, of course, starts crying harder and harder, and he hugs her and says, just let it all out. Let it all out, baby. He is so cute. We next see Jason explaining to Sookie about killing Franklin. And he's looking all kind of sad about it or upset. And she tells him that that's what he had to do to save Tara. That he did the right thing. He confesses to killing eggs and kind of is crying a little bit. And Sookie tells him that he needs to tell Tara because these kind of things are going to come out and it's going to be way worse. He tells her the only thing he's good at is protecting people. And Sookie tells him that he's not protecting Tara, but lying to her, and that he needs to get that fixed. Jesus and Lala are high on V in the next scene and start hallucinating. All the little statues and figurines he has of the Virgin Mary are dancing around, and they kind of look like they're flying through the air. They go to all kind of different places, seeing Jesus's grandma, who he said could undo powerful spells. And another woman who I couldn't catch who she was, I think it was a younger version of his grandma, who could help people with fertility problems. And then they went back and saw...
Oh, you got that backwards. The woman with the oils was a woman in his village who could...
I said it was his grandma. He said abuelo.
No, the grandma was Winnie. Winnie as a young girl. She was teaching her... The older woman was teaching the younger girl.
That was Lafayette's grandma, not Jesus's.
I thought it was Jesus.
The black people?
Okay, never
They mind. Were slaves. Remember they talk about they were slaves and they had potions to keep the master?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I'm talking about the old lady and then the younger Hispanic lady that was putting the egg on the woman's stomach.
Oh, yeah, her. Okay, never mind.
I couldn't catch who it was, but I was thinking the old lady was his grandma and then the younger one was the younger version of the grandma, but I couldn't follow who that was, so maybe
I'm gonna have to
we'll have to talk about that. But anyway,
okay. Sorry,
that's okay. And so then we see Lafayette's great 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 grandma and her daughter Winnie, who was a conjurer, and he said that they were putting a spell around them so which would keep the master away from them. So they wouldn't be raped by the master. Mm-hmm. Then we see Jesus's grandfather who practiced the black arts. And you could tell because it's all freaky some nasty looking devil things hanging up on the wall. And he says he practiced black arts and was a sorcerer. They wake up and Lafayette is freaked the hell out just like I would have been. I would have been, okay, you got to go. We don't mess with no black art, black magic shit, okay? Okay, so then we move on and we see Sookie having a dream about Eric where he tells her that she cannot trust Bill. And she's like, well, why can't I trust Bill? And then she kind of wakes up. I kind of skipped over all the kissing and stuff because it wasn't really real. But it was real, but it wasn't real. Yeah. He starts to bite her neck and she wakes up kind of with a start. And Jason is standing there with a tray of food. And asks her if she's okay. He takes a tray of food into Tara, who's resting, and she sits up and thanks him for saving her from Franklin. Jason looks uncomfortable and tries to tell her that he isn't always so helpful, and sometimes he tries to be helpful, but he messes everything up, and he doesn't do things right, and she kind of stops him and says, why do you always try to act like you're not good? She says, you are good. And I know I can always count on you. You always have saved me ever since we were little. And I just thank you. Mm-hmm. She starts crying and Jason comforts her. And as they kind of come apart, they stare at each other for a while and then they start kissing. Jason kind of stops kissing her a little bit. And she jumps up and says she is so fucked up. She doesn't know why she's doing it. She's just fucked up. She tries to run out the room when Jason grabs her and just blurts out that he shot eggs. Mm-hmm. That he was coming after Andy. He was trying to protect Andy, so he shot him. And he needs to let her know. She just stares at him. He's like, tell me something. Say something. Hit me. Do something. And she just runs out the house. And we got some good email about that scene. So Jason runs after her and... As he gets to the living room, he notices Sookie's not there and sees a note where she tells him that she'll be back. Don't worry about her. We next see Jessica waking up from her little hidey hole, coming out, and she notices out the window there is a cross burning out in the front yard. Right when she looks there's some guys, you can hear them yelling from outside saying, go back where you came from, go back and die. Mm-hmm. And they throw a brick through the window. She runs outside and is about to go after him, looking scared and also mad, when Bill runs up from his outside dirt area where he went to ground and stops her and tells her that, you know, they need to be smart about things now. So she stops. We next see Sam, and he goes back to his flashback, or he goes to his flashback while in the woods, still drunk or still drinking, and he flashes back to himself shifting to a beagle and coming up on the man and woman who stole his jewelry and the old girlfriend or what Cash. He thought was a girlfriend, and Cash. He shifts back into his human form and runs up on him and grabs the guy's gun and tells him to give him his money back. The guy starts handing him some money and he looks at it and goes, where's the rest of it? And the girl goes into the car and says she's looking for it. She's looking for it. So he tells the man to give him his pants. And the guy's kind of taunting him and saying, oh, yeah, she told me all about you, how weird you are, how you be barking in your sleep and shit. He says, oh, yeah, uh-huh. So you think it's okay to steal my money because I'm weird? And he starts beating the shit out of the guy. The girl is yelling at him to stop. She's then got a gun out the car and tells him if he doesn't stop, she's going to shoot him. Well, she shoots him in the shoulder. He turns around and shoots her smack dab in the chest. Mm-hmm. As soon as he does, he runs over to her and tells her, oh, no, 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 please don't die, don't die. But, of course, she does. At this point, he seems to kind of just lost it. He walks over to the guy that he beat up, but who was still alive, and shoots him in the back. And then we see him come back to the present. He's looking all pensive and scared and nervous mm-hmm. and upset at the same time. We next see Suki bursting into Fantasia's office with Pam behind her, saying she wanted to talk to Eric. She wants to know what he meant when he said he wouldn't be around much longer. He tells her, you don't really care about me, so who cares? And she says, well, you need to tell me why I shouldn't trust Bill. And he says, look, my one regret if I go and meet the death, if I die, my one regret out of all these years will be not kissing you. So he grabs her and kisses her, and she tries to fight him back, but she doesn't. She starts kissing him, too. And she kind of finally breaks away and tells him that she gets it. Okay, I get it. I'm intoxicating and delicious. Okay, why should I trust Bill? Let's come on back to my question. At this point, Pam butts into the office and tells Eric, and he's like, what do you need, what? And she's like, blah, blah, vampire mean, blah, blah. Vampire emergency, blah, blah.
I like that.
So he goes out to the main part of Fantasia with Pam. She's like, why are you jacking with Suki instead of using her? You know what he wants. Let's use Suki to get it. Why are you just giving up? And he's like, don't worry about it. I liked you much better when you were just hard-ass Pam. And she's like, look, you would have done anything you could have to save Godric. That's what I'm trying to. She said, I don't want that, all your money and property and shit. I don't need all that. But you need to start thinking about how we can get through this situation. And I think you need to be using Suki to do it. Mm-hmm. So he kind of looks at her like, maybe got a point. So I'll just go ahead and skip to the next scene. Eric comes back into his office and Suki is pacing around. She's like, where'd you go? You can't be leaving me in here like a prisoner. I'm not your prisoner. He says, well, actually, you are. Grabs her potato sack style and takes her down to the dungeon. Screaming all the while. Mm-hmm. And puts this big, nasty steel collar around her neck and all that dungeon nasty wetness, bloody, yucking mess. And she's screaming and hollering. We next see our poor but brilliant King Russell looking for a prostitute.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
A male prostitute. Mm-hmm. Or prostitute, sorry. Mm-hmm. And as he's talking to this guy who's standing kind of like in this alley corner, he's got his knapsack with his little candy jar full of tablets. And the guy is looking at him like, what kind of shit you into? it wasn't funny, but it was funny. It was funny. And Russell's just kind of like, put the flap over the bag, like, oh, don't worry about my baby.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
So anyway, he tells him he's got some money and he'll take good care of him and asks him if he has somewhere to go. So, of course, the little dude takes him on to his place. And so later they're laying in the bed together. And he's telling the boy that he missed him and calls him Talbot. The guy's like, I told you, my name is Tony. And Russell kind of gets rough with him a little bit and his little fangs. And he's like, look, I done told you, it's extra to bite me. If you want to bite me, it's extra. Russell kind of grabs him and starts talking to him and talking about how he is sorry that he was alone. And he starts crying a little bit and that it's all his fault. and it's his fault that he was alone at the end. He grabs a stake and stakes Tony in the chest. Mm-hmm. Tony is hollering and also kind of dying. And Russell tells him, Talbot, you saved me from the world and from myself, and I was a fool to trust him. He kisses Talbot, and now it's morphed into Talbot because we're seeing what he's seeing.
Yeah.
And he kisses Talbot and tells him that he's glad that they had a chance to say goodbye. And he grabs his hand and kind of lays his head on his chest. And the camera backs up and we see it's Tony, the prosty.
Mm-hmm.
And he's holding his hand, laying with him and kind of stroking his hand a little bit as we fade out from that scene. Mm. We next are back at Merlot's, and Arlene is walking up to Holly as she's working and asks her if she can help her get rid of her baby. And Holly just looks at her and smiles and said, of course. We see Hoyt coming into Merlot's and sees Jessica standing there biting her nails. And he's like, a vampire who bites her nails? And she tells him they grow back. And he just comes out and tells her he loves her and that he broke up with Summer and he wants to be with Jessica. Jessica's looking at him sad and says that he doesn't want to know anything about the part of her that's done all these horrible things and liked it. And he tells her, don't be telling me what I'm going to like or don't like or what I want or don't want. If you don't want me, just tell me you don't want me. Mm-hmm. But I want you, I love you, and I don't care what all you want to do. Look me in the eye and tell me you don't want me. Well, she just kind of sits there and stares at him. So he kind of gets the picture that she doesn't want him even though she didn't say it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting all hang dog at the face and looking heartbroken and starts walking out of Merlot's upset. Tommy sees all this and goes outside to start taunting him and shit. Hoyt just, bam! Duke the shit out of Tommy with one punch.
Square in the nose.
Kept on walking like it wasn't nothing. Like it was a gnat that he was shooing. Because Hoyt is big.
He big.
I like Hoyt. Hello.
I know.
So Tommy falls all down to the ground. And Hoyt keeps on walking. Well, Tommy being Tommy's pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Changes into the pit bull.
Mm-hmm.
And runs after Hoyt and starts tearing Hoyt up.
Mm-hmm.
Hoyt is screaming and hollering. At this point, Jessica had decided she was going to come out anyway.
Yeah.
But then when she saw Hoyt and the dog, she ran up with her vampire speed, grabbed Tommy by the neck, and tossed his ass in the woods.
Well, but she didn't know him. She well, no. The dog.
The dog. She sees Hoyt's arm, and it's all jacked up. Mm-hmm. The bones, I mean, the skin's all broken, the bones sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
And she bites her arm and tells Hoyt to drink her blood. Hoyt kind of backs up and says, she says, look, I love you too. Now drink. So he starts drinking. We next see Tommy looking at them from the woods in his human form again while they're doing all this.
Mm-hmm.
The next scene we see Jason coming home with his shotgun after looking for Sookie. He goes into the house to get a beer, and then Bill runs in with his vampire speed and grabs Jason and pushes him up against the wall. Everybody pushing everybody up against the wall.
I know.
And he asks Jason where Sookie is. Jason tells him he doesn't know. He's been looking for her all night, and he's, you know, kind of whining about it. And Bill's upset and says, look, you said you would look after her. And Jason says, look, you can't hold her down. No brother, boyfriend, father, nobody can keep her from doing what she want to do. Bill is upset and he's telling Jason, how could he? Well, Jason finally gets pissed and says, what the fuck, dude? Shut the fuck up. And he grabs Bill. Wait, I love it. He grabs Bill by his shirt and pushes him back. Bill actually looks shocked for a minute.
I know.
Like he done forgot he's an effing vampire or some mm-hmm. shit. And then Jason tells him, shut your effing mouth and get out my fucking house. Bill is looking all like, oh, shit. You
like
know?
He's sick.
Well, that's how he looks every time they make mm-hmm. him get out of his house. Like, oh, hell. And Jason's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Sookie told me what to do. He working his little neck. But he was looking too cute while he was pissed.
I know.
And so he's like, I take back everything I ever said to allow you to come in here. And every word he says, it's like Bill's getting knocked in the stomach.
Yeah, punched in the chest or something.
Punched in the chest. Mm-hmm. And he's going backwards. And Jason's walking out with him and says, get the F out. And he slams the door. And of course, then Bill's stuck on the front porch.
Mm-hmm.
Jason hears a noise coming from the back bedroom. And he walks back there. And sees this big black panther with yellow glowing eyes. And as he's looking at it, it shifts into crystal. And he goes, ooh, mama. And then one scene I didn't say because I skipped. When Sookie was screaming when Eric was taking her down to the dungeon, of course, Bill felt that about her and took off running. And that's the end of the episode.
Okay.
What'd you think?
Well, I liked the episode, but there's some things I didn't like and some things that I really liked. I'll get to the stuff I didn't like. I didn't like that daggum cheesy mechanical panther at the end. That just ruined the shit for me. Oh, it was so cheesy.
Well, what are they going to do?
I don't know, but they could have got the film footage from the 1950 version of Cat People or something. That was a real Black Panther in there. You know,
yeah.
Anything. I mean, but to use this mechanical creature after we done seen a whole season of them shifting to a wolf and stuff, and it's really cool, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it was awful. It was such a anticlimactic scene to me. And, you know, even though you did kind of go out of sequence, that was the very end of the episode. So it just left you with, what? That cheesy shit? And the thing had these yellow...
Well, they're like enhancing
green
the eyes.
Oh, Lord. It was awful.
They're trying to enhance the eyes.
But I think I really feel that way more so because I don't like that Crystal girl. I don't like the character. I don't like the person who's playing the character. I just don't like her. So I don't care. When she comes on the scene, I get up and try to go get a drink or something. Because, you know, well, I just don't pay attention. I don't like that storyline for Jason. I realize, you know, that's going to be his storyline, but ooh. I don't like it.
Well, it didn't bother me. And it kind of finally reveals, you know, the hotshot people.
Yeah.
And what they are. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of liked it. I mean, we finally got to the point where she's not just running from him.
Mm-hmm.
She's decided, look, I'm going to try and see if this is going to work. And Jason really ain't phased anymore. He was like, oh,
yeah,
okay,
I mean,
mama.
He's seen Sam so shift to a dog and stuff and to a bull and stuff. So,
yep.
You know, he's so, not phased.
And all the vampire shit, he's not phased.
Yeah.
But I love Jason in that scene when he told Bill to get the fuck out.
Oh, that was really good.
I loved it.
He was really mad, too.
He was
mad.
Actually, Jason, the whole episode, I liked.
Yeah.
I liked the whole episode of Jason.
He was kind of back to his old self. But I agree with Tara in that Jason tries to give the impression that he's dumb, but he's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he always says these little dumb things, you know, because I think he kind of thinks that other people expect that of him. That's what I'm thinking.
No, he thinks that of himself.
Well, true, but I think he also thinks that that's what other people expect of him, too.
Hmm.
You know, so, but anyway. But I really, really, really like Pam and Eric. I just love Pam. But I just really liked their scenes. And I was a little put out with Eric, though. You know, it seemed like he just kind of, you know, was resigned to his fate. Like, okay, he gonna come kill me. He's twice as old as me. He's just gonna kill me. Okay, that's it. You know what I mean? And I didn't like that part. But,
well, I mean, what else can he think?
Well, I know.
What else can he think? Because... it's true. Russell is way older. What is he going to... he can't get the drop on him. He's going to have to figure out... I mean, so I get it, but it was just a little too sappy.
Well, it was just... At first, I thought it was just a little out of character for Eric, but then I remembered what when he was with last season, when he was with Godric, and that showed a whole different side too. So, you know, he does have a caring side, and he wanted to make sure that Pam was not implicated in anything. And that even though she's there at Fantasia with him and everything, but he did not want her to be implicated in, you know,
I don't think it was implicated. He just wanted her to be taken care of when he goes.
Yeah, but he didn't want her to suffer his punishment either.
They didn't say nothing. He didn't say anything about that. All he did was set her up to get all his shit when he goes.
That's true.
And she didn't want it. She was mad that he was even doing all that.
Yeah. That was kind of sad, though.
It was sad. But I'm glad she's like, look, come on. You're going to choose this human over us?
And she told him, true, she says, Russell's going to get her anyway. There's nothing you can do about it.
So she was trying to tell him,
look, okay, I get it. He's twice as old as you. That means he's going to win. He's going to get her anyway. So you might as well use her and formulate a plan.
Yeah.
Which I agree.
Yeah.
And to tell you quite honestly, though, I kind of liked it when he slapped that chain around Sookie's neck and left her in the basement. No offense to Anna Paquin, but dang. Because, yeah, I was getting sick of her and Bill. And wait a minute. Man, Stephen Moyer needs to win an Emmy, Oscar, something.
He does.
Because he looks so damn shady. Every time, I love it though, but it makes me mad. Uh-huh. But every time Sookie's asking him something or talking about something, you could tell that boy lying. He's just lying to her.
Yeah.
And she's just like oblivious, like, okay, you know, oh, it makes me mad. It just makes me mad. You know?
And even when Eric was talking to him and he was saying, oh, so the queen didn't tell you the real reason she wanted Sookie, and he's trying to play it off.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can see it in the way, but he does it in such a subtle way.
I know.
Like he's trying to play it off. But he did that in scenes with the king when he first got taken to Mississippi. And I love the way he does that, where he kind of looks down and kind of like...
kind of shifty.
Shifty, but then he starts immediately going into his cover story.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
But I was getting irritated. I mean, Sookie doesn't, as a character, doesn't irritate me.
She do me.
Like a lot, she does a lot of people. But I will say in this episode, I was starting to get like, okay, come on, girl. Shit.
He's done. How much stuff he got to do to you?
Yeah.
You know?
Enough already.
At least Tara is through with him, you know?
That's why I was happy when Tara said, look,
yeah.
He needs to go.
Yeah.
He let all... I had this done to me, this done to me, this done to me, and y'all motherfucker didn't help me at all.
And I thought it was interesting how Sookie just stood there and looked at her like, oh, that's what happened to you.
Well, because Tara hasn't been talking.
That's true. But still.
She hasn't told nobody. She told Sam, but, you know, that's it. Yeah. I don't even think she told Sam everything.
I don't think she did, but I think she told Holly, the new
waitress.
Actually,
no, she didn't tell Sam. She just cried with Sam.
Yeah.
She probably did tell the support group.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, Sookie didn't know, and she needed to hear that shit.
She needed to
hear it. And she needed to hear Bill let the shit happen.
He let the shit happen.
So while Bill is going out of his way to say...
Come on, I'm protecting you.
Right. While he's going out of his way to save Sookie, he ain't helping nobody else.
Well, you know, it just really irritates me every time she's talking to him and she's asking him questions. I mean, come on, girl. What the hell are you expecting to say? Oh, yeah, I'm really lying to you and leading you on. Use your brain.
Yeah.
Did you know that Queen Sophie Ann was doing this now? Well, I'm one of her subjects.
I was one of her subjects. All that shit about the secret file.
Yeah, she just let that go.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that makes me mad. Hey,
and I'd have been pissed if that doggone Claudine had told him some shit and didn't tell me.
And didn't tell me? And she the one that's the fairy.
Yep.
And he talking about, I just found out today. That's a daggum lie. That's the whole reason why Sophie had sent him after her, because she probably wanted to confirm, you know? Oh, yeah. He just a liar.
Now, I don't know if he knew that part.
Hey, I wouldn't doubt it at all.
I don't know if he knew that part.
I wouldn't doubt it at all.
Yeah, who knows?
I tell you. But my favorite parts was Jessica and Hoyt.
Oh, yeah.
That is just so cute. You know, and I'm glad they're getting back together. But when he popped Tommy,
that was so good.
That was so good.
He just was like, bam,
bam. And he just kept walking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so good. Because Tommy do all that big talking all the time, you know.
That's all he knows how to do, though.
That was so good.
That's all he knows how to do.
And, you know, I did feel sorry for Tara, though. But she needed to know. She needed to know the truth. She had to know. Yeah. And we knew it was going to come out.
We knew. I'm glad it's out so we can be done with that story.
And frankly, I think the way Jason did it was like what would really happen in real life. Because he was feeling so guilty and he knew that she was feeling so good about him saving her.
Yeah.
Like he used to when she was a little girl from her drunk ass mama. Then, you know, he just blurted it out.
Well,
because he wanted to get it done. Yeah, get it out.
It was eating him up.
Yeah.
Which you could tell when Sookie was saying, you did what you had to do to help her. And he's like, and he had to tell her too.
Yeah. See.
It was just eating him up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad he told her. But what did you think about them kissing?
You know what? I thought that was probably what Tara would have done. Because, like I said, at that moment, she was feeling so relieved and I think happy within herself, that of all the people to save her, it was Jason, the person, the one person that she had been in love with since she was a kid.
And the only one she could count on.
She's telling herself, the only one I can count on. See, I thought it was, I mean, to me, that would have been a response. That would have been a normal response. I was not surprised. I was surprised, though, and I felt sorry for her when she pulled away and says, I'm one, you know, effed up person and stuff. And I think that's why he had to blurt that out, because because he didn't want her to feel like it was her.
Yeah.
See? So, but I felt kind of sorry for her in that whole scene because, you know, of course, we as the audience, we know, yeah, but he shot eggs. But.
Oh, eggs had to go. I'm sorry.
But I mean, it was accident.
No, it wasn't. He shot him on purpose.
No. But what I mean is, he didn't know the eggs wasn't really going to stab Andy. But that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
I mean, eggs was just waving the knife around, and it was probably going to off itself or something. But that's not what it looked like to someone coming up on that scene. Mm-hmm. You know.
I ain't sorry. Eggs had to go.
No. I'm not sorry he's gone.
He had to go. And I'm glad he gone.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad he gone, too.
Now, that whole scene with Jesus and Lafayette freaked me out.
Oh, that was good, though. But you know what? I'm going to have to go back and watch that scene again and put the words on so I can get who's who. Who's parent and grandparent and stuff.
Well, the only Lafayette people on there were the black people. Sister Jay. The slaves, the ones that he said they were slaves and they were trying to keep the master from them, those were Lafayette's great-great-great-great-grandma or something like that. And he's like, oh, that's my great-grandma? And
one of them's name was Winnie something.
That was the daughter.
Okay.
The great-great-grandma, the mother was May. His great-great-great-great-grandma May and her daughter Winnie, which would have been his three-time great-grandma or whatever.
Now that's making sense.
The rest of them were Jesus' family.
Right, okay.
I mean, come on.
Well, yeah.
You don't need words for that.
Well, but I did. I did not catch that was Lafayette's people. Oh. I did not catch that. Just because they had dark skin didn't mean nothing. There's a lot of Mexicans that are real dark, you know?
Yes, but that wasn't... They weren't just dark, they were black. He said slaves.
Oh, see, I didn't get that part, so.
Okay.
I must not have been paying close enough attention.
Ooh, Sister Jay, goodness gracious.
Hey, I must not have been paying close enough attention.
So anyway, but that scene kind of freaked me out because I don't like that voodoo crap.
Oh, see, I don't believe in that voodoo crap, so it didn't bother me. I thought it was pretty, you know, pretty well filmed and interesting.
I think that shit is true.
Nah. It only works if you believe it. I don't believe that shit, so. It wouldn't work on me. I'll believe.
Hey. As you be clucking like a chicken.
Yeah, I wish somebody would. Yeah. And trust me, I was in Virginia around some people that do that shit. And, you know, no. And I tell them all the time, it don't work on me because I don't believe that mess.
Don't be egging their asses on. Hey, that is Sister J talking. I ain't trying to get egged on.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, okay, let's move on.
But anyway, so that scene, it was okay, but it kind of freaked me out. And then when they woke up and Lafayette was all freaked out, I was like, yeah, that's what you get.
And Jesus said, ooh, man, I really like that. Ooh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah, he really liked that stuff, see. So now that you pointed that out on their little trip, then that makes what Ruby Jean says even more poignant when she's saying those things to Lafayette, like, you don't have your mask on today, and you have power in you. And all those things that she says to Lafayette, see?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that was most of the characters, right?
Yeah, because we talked about them hotshot people.
And the King Russell.
Well.
King Russell done lost his mind.
I felt sorry for him, though, but.
I did.
I had to laugh when he was trying to proposition that prostitute, and the guy's looking in his bag, said, "What's that?" And he just puts the flap over because he's hauling around that candy jar full of Talbot's remains. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And wait a minute. After he staked that little prostitute, didn't he take out some of Talbot's innards and try to push it on the guy?
What?
Didn't he?
No.
Didn't he have that jar up there or something?
No.
Oh, okay.
He just stabbed him and then grabbed his face and then grabbed his hand and was kind of holding his hand. Oh. Like, now you don't have to be alone anymore.
Okay. I thought he had that.
No.
He had that jar.
What show was you watching?
I thought he had that jar on the bed with him. He has lost his mind, though.
He sure has.
He is just off.
Poor King Russell.
I know. I like King Russell, but he is off. He crazy.
Crazy.
He crazy now. It was a good episode, though. I enjoyed it.
I did, too.
All except that daggum mechanical panther thing. Shit. That just... And you know what? For that to be the very last scene...
That wasn't the last scene. The last scene was Sookie getting her neck chained up.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay.
I went out of sequence. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Lord.
Anyway. Well, we had a bunch of email because we're not going to talk about
it. Yeah, okay.
So...
Okay, let's get to it.
Let's get to them. The first one's from Andy.
Hey, Andy.
She says, "Longtime listener from New York, I just about died laughing listening to the last podcast. Sister J, you crack me up. As one of your other friends said, no episode of True Blood is complete without hearing your input. Love it."
Great.
She also sent a link to a True Blood podcast from that I think one of our other listeners does.
Okay.
And it's... I'll just tell you the link because I seem to forget to put these up later. Just in case I forget. It's at blogtalkradio.com/TTBATMerlots. So T as in Tom, T as in Tom, B as in boy, A, T as in Tom, Merlots is okay. The link. And it's another podcast by two ladies and they talk about True Blood.
Okay.
And then Andy also mentions that I never reposted the old episodes of Sisters in Review that I said that I would repost last season.
Oh, yeah.
Last year.
That's a big project, though.
Well, it is in the fact that my computer sucks right now. It's giving me fits. And so it's really causing issues just to even post our regular episodes right now. So until I get that worked out. It'll take me a little bit to get the other ones posted, but okay. I will work on it.
Thank you for that email,
Andy. Thank you. Our next one is from Tim.
Hey, Tim.
He says, "Howdy, sisters K and J. How are things? Just thought I'd drop you a note to let you know how brill it is that you're back for season 3.
What's brill?
Brilliant.
Oh,
Brill.
Okay.
Get with the lingo, Sister J.
Oh, Lord. You young folk.
I'm writing from Australia, where we've just started with episode 1 of season 3.
Oh, cool.
And as soon as the episode was finished, I scoured iTunes looking for your podcast. The best compliment I can give is that your podcasts are, for me, just as entertaining as the episodes themselves. Although I must admit I made a rather stupid mistake in listening to your podcast while I was in the shower this morning, and now gather that the neighbors outside busted me laughing out loud over the sound of running water several times. Now they either think I'm either very pleased with myself or at least have a good sense of humor about my body. Little do they know I'm saving myself for Pam. Anyways,
yeah.
While I'll always be too late to post in time to join in with your discussion about individual episodes, I just wanted to let you know that the podcasts are genius and make each week's True Blood episode even more enjoyable. Sending you spider-sensey good vibes, Tim. That's pronounced Tim, or excuse me, he says, that's Tim pronounced Idris.
No, it's Idris.
He said, seriously though, who won that little argument?
And you know what? Oh, thank you, Tim, for that email.
Thank you,
and
Tim.
And you know what, Tim? I do want to say that I didn't appreciate the response Sister J sent to you, of which she does send me a copy, and that's because she didn't win that daggum argument.
Yes, I did.
No, she didn't.
Go back a couple episodes where you say Idris.
I say Idris every time.
You did, except for that time.
Yeah, well, hey, but you know what? That's what they call one of those Freudian slips.
Yeah, because you knew it
no,
was right.
No, it
Hello.
Isn't.
Hello.
Anyway, thank you for
thank
that email,
Thank you, Tim. And I want to know how your water bill is, because if you listen to us in the shower, that's a long-ass shower.
And how can you hear us over the water? Are we that loud?
Well, he probably has a water...
Oh, yeah, you
a
know
A waterproof
what?
Player that he can listen to it on.
I've seen those, like, in online and stuff.
I don't take long enough showers for that.
Yeah, I try to jump in and jump out. Mm-hmm. But thank you for that email.
Thank you.
And we appreciate... you know, someone all the way in Australia
all
listening to our podcast.
And listening to it before you actually see it, which means you don't mind being spoiled.
Yeah, because we give lots of spoilers away since you're just not getting the first episode. So, wow.
I'm jealous, though, because I wish we were back to the first episode. Now we only have one
left. I've liked this
or
season.
Or two left.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have okay.
Two. Okay.
Our next email is from Yinka.
Who?
Yinka.
Oh, okay, cool.
She says, hey now, sisters. OMFG. Where do I start? There was so much information in this episode that I thought I was back in school trying to comprehend Algebra 2. Where do I begin? Okay, let's talk about my girl, Tara. She is back and made a move on Jason's fine ass. Love the way she looked down on Bill, just how some white people look down on black people. He's not a man, Sookie. OMG, I was about to have a heart attack right there when Jason told her he shot eggs. And Miss Crystal Meth is a shifter. What the F? I totally got that wrong. I thought they were wares. Now the inbreeding makes sense. Well, as close to sense as incest does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on to my future husband, Sam.
That's great.
Sam, you effing killed people. I didn't think you had it in you.
We didn't discuss Sam.
Yes, we did. No, we didn't. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Granted, one was in an accident, but the shooting of the man was just cold-blooded murder.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, do we like clean-shaven Sam or the shaggy Sam? Okay, let me stop there. I like any kind of Sam.
Yeah, I don't care if he
looked good, clean shaven.
And frankly, I love the flashback because I kept telling you, see, Sam had got some shady stuff in his background.
Yeah,
that's why he gets so angry and out of control when he gets angry. And it seems to me that as long as he doesn't get really angry, then he's in control, complete control. But when he gets out of control, he's just out of it.
Duh, that's probably just like, what's her name?
Who?
His mama, Melinda, and Jolie, and Tommy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Tommy doesn't control his emotions either.
Mm-hmm. But I like that.
So
I thought that was cool.
What did you want to talk about that scene with Sam before we move on
well,
to her?
Frankly, I like the fact that he shifted into his little beagle, which is his go-to shift. and he followed them suckers out into the woods, and he got his money. He said, well, where are my money?
Killing them.
Hey, but she shot at him first. And wait a minute. And the thing that was killing to me is when she shot at Sam, he didn't even aim. He just shot the gun. And it hit her dead in the chest.
It did.
Dead in the chest. And so, you know.
Well, you know he know how to shoot.
But see, Sam was thinking, okay, he done shot the girl. He done shot her. So what he do? He picked up the gun, and it looked like he picked up the gun she shot with.
No.
Or was it still his gun?
It was his gun.
Okay. But anyway.
Or the gun was that guy right. that he picked up.
But he might as well have shot the guy. Yeah. Why are you going to leave a witness?
Oh, Sister Jack.
Hey, you know what? That scene didn't bother me at all.
Okay, she goes on to say, Jessica, does this mean that Jessica and Hoyt are back together? Mm-hmm. I sure hope so. Of all the Bon Ton couples, I love them together the most.
Yep.
Tell me something. Does Tommy have a death wish? He is always trying to pick a fight. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't know how to interact with people. When he shifted into the pit and attacked Hoyt, then Jessica came and tossed his ass like a rag doll. It was too funny.
I know.
But then maybe he wanted to get them back together just by the way he looked in the woods after the attack.
I don't think so.
I didn't see that at all. I felt like he was looking at them like, well, shit.
That's what I think.
To get with her and now she's back with him.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I don't think his intention was to get them together at all.
No. Mm-mm. He just wanted to hurt Hoyt mm-hmm. for punching his ass out. Mm-hmm. Clap! Yeah. Okay, on to Lala and Jesus. Mm-mm-mm. If they could just make those two into a taco shell, put me in the middle and sprinkle some Eric cheese on me, I would die a happy woman.
Oh, Lord.
Apparently, no one should ever do V. That shit mm-mm. is fucked all the way up. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy the spiritual journey they took without leaving the comforts at home. We learned that both Lala and Jesus are cut from the same cloth of Wicca or something.
Yeah.
The only thing now is which side is Jesus on? Was his mother taking him away from his grandfather the right choice? Now both cousins have Wiccans in their lives. Mm-hmm. Question is, which side is good, which one is evil? Mm-hmm. Arlene finally told Terry the truth, which I'm glad.
Yep.
Just love Terry. Mm-hmm. Secondhand smoke, bad. Carrying heavy things, bad, bad. Mm-hmm. Now to the Sookie story. As you can see, I left her ass for last because I'm sick of her sticking up for Bill.
Yep.
Nothing really much happened that we didn't already know. Mm-hmm. She is a fairy and doesn't trust Bill. I love how Eric kissed her senseless and then locked her ass into the cattle circle. Classic Eric. Russell has lost his damn mind, but he has jumped off. She says Russell has no longer lost his damn mind, but has jumped off the deep end, landed in a tar pit, and is slowly sinking into the abyss of insanity. Mm-hmm. Staking the guy from the new 90210, not cool. Mm-hmm. But we did get to see Talbot one last time.
Yep.
We also saw Steve Newland. Is it just me, or does he remind y'all of Al Sharpton? Always there in the background of mess.
Oh, yes. I love that. I love that comment. Okay.
Anyway, ooh, sorry for the long email. It was a lot of stuff in this episode. Keep up the excellent work. Can't wait to hear from you gals. As always, keeping garlic at my door and silver bullets in my gun. Oluyinka.
Oh my goodness, that is hilarious. And you know what? I agree wholeheartedly. Oh, I mean, so but funny. I didn't think about Sharpton at the time, but now I can see it perfect. Yes, that is hilarious. That's an excellent comment.
Al Sharpton.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, I enjoyed watching that Steve Newland, though.
I did too.
Oh, and you're right, especially when he said, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd be saying, told ya.
Oh, so funny.
Yeah, I like
but
that.
But see, he's got it in there, even with that.
He got it in there. That's right.
She does give us a P.S.
Okay.
She says, an idea for the True Blood off-season, you could recap the show's post-mortems and the skits from the HBO podcast. Y'all can do commentary of season one in which we didn't get to hear y'all's thoughts. Plus, an idea of a live after the finale podcast is cool. You can use Ustream, which allows you to do the podcast and have a live chat at the same time. She says, please do a Vampire Diaries podcast that could also be a filler between seasons. Just some suggestions.
Okay. And how do you pronounce her name?
Oluyinka.
Okay.
Up here, she says Yinka.
Okay. I said Yinka. I'm going to say Yinka, so I don't...
That's easier.
Yeah, so I don't mess up your name, honey. But, you know, on your PS, well, the reason why we probably won't be doing a whole lot of your suggestions...
What?
Is because, well, but we do a lot of other podcasts.
I know, we got...
We do a Fringe podcast that we dearly love, and we're going to always do it, as long as Fringe is on, anyway. And we also do our reality podcast. We are going to get back into Fringe, because the premiere is in a couple weeks. And anyway, but we do a reality podcast where we podcast The Amazing Race and Survivor... Nicaragua for this year, and we really like doing that one too. So
we're just gonna have to figure out a way to streamline a couple of them somehow.
Yeah,
maybe we can do. I don't know how we're gonna do it, but we just have to think of a way because there's so many good things on to talk about.
Yeah, but I really don't want to get into the True Blood format or the format we use for Fringe for all the other things that we watch.
No.
I really don't want to do
that. Oh, no, we can't. We can't keep up with that
because
pace.
But we both do watch The Vampire Diaries, and I do enjoy it, but I don't know if I don't know.
I don't know either. We'll have to maybe pick one anchor or two anchor podcasts and maybe do one every once in a while where we talk about everything.
Well,
maybe once a month or a bunch of different things. Not everything, but a bunch of different things. I don't know. We haven't figured out yet,
right,
Yinka, what we're going to do. But those were great suggestions. Yeah. I would love to do a Vampire Diaries one.
Well, we'll see.
Because show.
True Blood and Big Brother are summer podcasts. We do that every summer. And then once fall starts.
Ian Summerholder.
I know. He is really cute. But... I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out. We're still trying to catch up on our other stuff.
We have a whole lot of...
Once we catch that up, everything up, then we can look more clearly at
what and we're B's coming back, too, in November, so, you know. Okay.
Thank you, Yinka.
Thank you for that email.
Our next email is from Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi, sisters. I love the podcast, even though I do skip the recap.
That's okay.
I've been listening for a while, but only just drummed up the courage to email.
Hmm.
On to my thoughts about this episode.
Okay.
The first thing you should know about me is I love all the characters at some point or another, especially Lafayette, Jessica, and Eric. Also, I'm an Eric and Suki lover, so obviously I'm not always fond of Bill. I'll start off with Lafayette and Jesus. I'm worried about Jesus trying the blood because I... read a spoiler about Jesus and vampire blood that I think came from the books, and now I wish I hadn't. But I love both of those characters, so I'm just hoping they don't get ruined at all. Now, I haven't heard any spoilers, or there's no Jesus in the books, and Lafayette dies in the second book.
Yeah.
Which is not a spoiler, we all have known it
right now.
So that whole storyline's not even in there, so I don't know what that spoiler came from, but probably from an article or something.
It could be.
Jessica and Hoyt, oh, how I love these two.
Me too.
And I like Tommy, or I did before this episode. But my goodness, how great was that punch Hoyt gave him? He didn't even break his stride as he did it. But I was panicking when Tommy shifted and the Hoyt was hurt. Mm-hmm. And I adored how Hoyt wouldn't drink from Jessica until she told him she loved him too.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that was probably the wrong time to be stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
Please just let them be happy for a while.
Ain't that the truth?
I felt so sorry for Jessica when the cross was burning and something smashed the window. She looked so scared and yet she wanted to go after them, which I wanted her to do. But for once, and I won't ever say this often, Bill was right.
Mm-hmm.
They do need to stay in control for now. Jason, I want to hug him. I knew the fact that he had shot eggs had to come out sometime, and that was not the time to do it, but Tara had a right to know.
Yep.
And him asking her to hit him or tell him she hates him just broke my heart a little bit. Though I knew that they were going to kiss, I was worried about that, but Tara soon broke away. That girl is right. She is effed up, and she needs to work on that and let herself heal before she does anything else.
Oh, Lord.
I finally felt really sorry for Crystal. I hate women being forced into anything, and her own father expects her to be raped, bear children, and be hit all the time just to keep the bloodline pure, and it's just appalling. Good for Crystal trying to break out of that life, but her family does not deserve any kind of loyalty from her at all. Hmm. The first non-dreamed Eric Suki kiss was slightly ruined for me by the casual way Suki brushed it off as her blood being irresistible, and it was just too annoying for words. At the end, I am so annoyed with Alan Ball. I guarantee Suki won't forgive Eric for that at least 2 to 3 seasons, so Alan Ball doesn't have to worry about having to deal with them yet. Mm-hmm. I know the show is different from the books, even though I never read them, but it is based on them, so something is gonna have to happen, and Alan Ball really needs to get over this love of Bill. Because he's a writer, you can't be a writer and have favorites because you end up ruining all the other characters apart from the favorite. Sorry for the long email. Keep up the good work. I'll try and write again next week, Sarah.
Well, thank you, Sarah, for that email. And you know what? I have a slightly different take on that. As a writer, I can tell you, you do have favorites, but you have to, tone that down. So I do agree with you that, you do have to tone that down. Otherwise, you do make one character lopsided and the other, not fully realized. But I think almost every writer, when you're writing a story, you have a favorite character. That's just kind of a human nature thing. But, a skillful writer is able to make you care about all the characters. And that's what we like about True Blood. They have so many core characters, before this season, that we got to know their stories and we got to care about them. And I love it. I just love it. Now, I don't feel sorry for Crystal. I don't like that storyline. I don't like her family. I don't care about them.
Okay, Sister Jane.
But I realize, it's going to be part of the story. I'll just have to grin and bear it, though. But yes. Thank you for that email, though.
Yes, you will. Mm-mm. Yes, thank you, Sarah, for the email.
Okay, what else?
Okay, the next one is from Terry.
Hey, Terry.
She says, hey there. Well, I really love this week's episode. So many characters had great moments. I just loved it. Mm-hmm. My all-time favorite moment this week was when Tommy ran out after Hoyt, and Hoyt just cleaned his clock with one punch.
Yep. Whap!
I mean, Hoyt didn't even break his stride or glance at Tommy. Mm-hmm. Tommy was so obsessed with Jessica and Hoyt, and this was like Hoyt just brushed Tommy off like a gnat. Not worthy of a moment's thought. Mm-hmm. Remember a few weeks ago when Tommy was bragging, oh, I can take that big crybaby with my hands tied behind my back.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I guess not. Tommy was low down to change into a pit bull and looked like he bit Hoyt right through the wrist. Mm-hmm. I think Hoyt would have bled out if Jessica hadn't saved him.
Yeah.
Okay, Tara, we all love you, but if you do that damn lower lip tremble and chin crumple one more time, I'm going to get annoyed. We get it. You're always tragic and on the edge of crying, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
I don't think Tara is allowed to have more than 5 to 10 minutes of non-tragic action on this show, and it's getting old. I don't know if it's the performance or the writing, but Tara is becoming kind of one note for me.
Well, okay, let's stop for a minute. And until she said that, I mean, she got a point.
Yes.
This whole season.
She's been.
Yeah, that she got that lower lip trembling and shit. That quiver shit, And this whole season, though, she's been traumatized and everything. So, yeah, I can see. Yeah, I kind of agree with you there.
That's funny. When I read that, I was cracking up.
Yeah, that is funny, though. Okay.
This whole thing of Jason confessing to Tara that he shot eggs. Mm-hmm. I never understood that plot device in the first place. Why was it preferable, for Andy Belfour to say he shot eggs? No matter who shot eggs, it was to defend Andy against a knife attack.
Yeah.
So why did Andy decide to take the blame? I mean, if Jason had said, I didn't want to shoot eggs, but he had a knife out and I had to save Andy, wouldn't that have made sense? I mean, from where Jason was standing, it sure looked like eggs was about to kill Andy. It's just overcomplicated things for Andy to say. Tell everyone I did it. I guess it set up this whole lame subplot where Jason is blackmailing Andy into being a fake cop.
Could be, but that's a good point too.
My email is getting long, so let me just add one more thing. I enjoyed your last podcast where you discussed the relationship between Pam and Eric. What I really liked this week was how Pam didn't like Eric setting up the will and talking like he thought he might meet the true death soon. He was being so pessimistic and fatalistic, and he seemed to get annoyed whenever she tried to fire him up. So finally she told him, in so many words, hey, you would have done anything to save your maker, Godric, so I feel the same way about you.
Yep.
Well, he finally seemed to get where she was coming from and really gave her a look of understanding at that point. Have a great week, Terry.
Oh, thank you, Terry, for that email.
Thank you, Terry.
And you know what? I do agree with some of that, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that, too, when she was finally like, look, boo, we can use this around and maybe work it out.
And it seemed, though, that, you know, for whatever reason, then at that moment, Eric finally understood, you know, finally understood what, how Pam was feeling and, you know.
Yep.
Because he could relate to her, because, yeah, he would have done anything to save Godric.
Our next email is from Janelle.
Hey, Janelle.
She says, I am so happy Eric snatched Sookie up because she so deserved it. He should pick Pam and himself over Sookie. He doesn't even know her. Mm-hmm. This is why I get so annoyed every time he makes puppy dog eyes at her. So he thinks she's cute and smells like a fairy. It's not like he actually has feelings for her. If he did, he wouldn't have been with Iveta. I get that Sookie and Eric are attracted to each other, but that's not enough for him to forfeit his life. Mm-hmm. That's not the Eric the show has presented us with.
Yep.
And it's weak that Sookie blames her feelings for Eric on his blood, but doesn't even take it into account when it comes to Bill, since she's practically had a full transfusion of Bill's blood, and she's had it from the second night they met.
Yep.
That's similar to something from the book. Sorry, Sister J. But at least Sookie can be equally as annoying in both formats.
Yeah.
She also deserved getting snatched since she couldn't tell that Bill is still lying to her, even though she knows it subconsciously.
Amen.
Since she dreams about it and refused to listen to people trying to help her and keep her safe.
Yeah.
If she wants to take care of herself, let her.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't buy this depressed Eric going around saying his goodbyes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy it. I know he's going to confront Russell, but the fact that he assumes he's going to die irks me. Mm-hmm. At least he needs to get used to it, to kiss Sookie, but after 1,000 years, that would be his biggest regret. Give me a break.
Yeah.
And what's with Bill always knowing a billion names for the same thing?
Yeah!
He did it last season, and now here again. He knows all this stuff, but nothing that's ever useful. Kudos to Jason for not only standing up to Bill and kicking his bossy behind out of his house, but for not jumping into bed with Tara and telling her the truth. Sookie was right when she said that withholding is tantamount to lying. Mm-hmm. Hear that, Bill? And Tara deserves to have all of the information. His growth comes in little spurts, but I'm always happy to see them. And remembering that he knows Sam is a shifter, his almost lack of reaction to Crystal makes sense.
Yep.
Now to the part I absolutely hated. The Lafayette Jesus V trip. Whoever wrote that needs to put down the pipe. I get how we could learn about Jesus' background through it, since it was information he knew. Mm-hmm. But where did the information about Lafayette's ancestors come from?
Mm-hmm.
I doubt Ruby Jean has ever been lucid long enough to tell Jesus that stuff. I really wish they came up with a better device than the V-trip that gives us this information. Whatever happened to the V ad, the V Andy had in his desk in the episode before this one?
Yep.
It was supposed to have been in evidence, but he had it in, and that's all we see of it? What the F?
Hmm.
And where is my Alcide? I miss him. I hope he's not messing around with that damn Debbie. I'll cut her like Sookie did. Take care, ladies. Janelle.
Thank you, Janelle, for that email.
Hey, Janelle.
And you know what? I like the comment you made about Sookie being in love, supposedly, with Bill, so in love with Bill, and she forgives him at every turn, but that's because she's got his blood, too. But she's always complained about, well, I only care about Eric because I got his blood. Yeah. I think that might be a big hole in the writing from the writers, you know? Because, that's a big hole, it seems to me.
Yeah, and I mean...
I mean, she only drank a little bit of Eric's blood, and she hadn't drank any since. But she's drinking Bill's blood all the time.
Well, they did say in season one, it depends on the vampire, and Eric is a lot older than Bill.
Well, that's true.
They said the older the vampire, the more strong or powerful their blood is.
That is true. Yeah, but I do remember that.
They need to tell that shit, because it's been a long time ago. We've forgotten.
Yeah.
Also, and this is kind of an aside from all the emails... They, in this first season, mm-hmm. I mean, he just took a drop of that blood. Him and Jesus took a drop of that blood. Mm-hmm. When Jason took a whole effing vial of the blood, he wasn't hallucinating nothing.
No.
He just had Viagra symptoms. So I don't understand how, I mean, they haven't explained enough
the
difference in... But, the different levels of V.
Well, but I remember when Lafayette was first given Jason some V, and he was going to make him, you know, dance, make that video in season one.
Yeah.
He was telling Jason then that he has to be careful because V affects different people in different ways.
Yes.
See, so... You know, maybe...
Well, there's a lot of different ways and a lot of different... Yeah.
Well, that's true, though. I mean,
okay, our next email is from Nanine.
Hey, Nanine.
She says, Hi, Sister K and Sister J. Just when I think the episodes can't get any better, True Blood delivers I Smell a Rat. Sookie, I know this is a dream. Eric, well, you might as well enjoy it. And oh, did I. she goes, Jason, holy moly, I love how Alan Ball didn't let us forget that Jason killed not just Eggs, but Eddie from season one.
Yep.
He actually didn't kill Eddie. Amy did, but he was there.
He was there.
Sometimes when you try to save people, you end up not. It's almost mm-hmm. like your right hand is not listening to your other hand, and you don't know which one to listen to. Talk about mixed metaphors.
Yep.
Jason plays the fool or the jester, but he shares wisdoms in his riddles. Oh, Jason is not getting off lightly for his sins. Jason's face when Bill tells him he is counting on him to protect Sookie, and how heartbreaking was Tara's face after he mentioned that he killed Eggs. Mm-hmm. Poor Jason, just when he has himself convinced that his worth is based on his ability to protect people, Sookie is nowhere where he can protect her. Mm-hmm. Sam, don't piss him off. He has a deep well of rage and some heavy burden of guilt.
Yep.
And how blue were his eyes when he was talking to Holly the Wiccan.
Yep.
I love Sam's rules. No dancing, no religion. Terry, that scene and the actor Todd Lowe deserves an award. His face, all the emotions that went through them when Arlene finally admits that the baby is not his but Renee's, perfection.
I know.
Summer. We didn't talk about this scene.
Summer. Oh, yeah. We forgot about Summer.
I know God wants girls to wait. Lafayette sums up the Hotshot crew succinctly. Them fuckers is a whole new dimension of trash.
That is the truth. Uh-huh. Maybe that's why I don't like them. Mm.
Sookie, kissing Eric and just about climbing him like a tree. Pam, blah, blah, vampire emergency, blah, blah. I may have to use that line at work. Or a t-shirt. Sisters, when will you have your t-shirts for sale? Yeah, we're kind of behind on that too.
Yeah.
Russell, trawling for hustlers. I loved how physically little Russell looked next to the hustler he picked.
Yeah.
But the whole time, I'm worried about the hustler. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, I should have. I guess that's one way to have a wake. Hoyt, you're a vampire who chews on her fingernails? I love you. Jessica, if you knew half the shit I've done. Jessica, saving Hoyt. I love you too. Now drink my blood. Jason, banning Bill from his house. Gorgeous scene.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
Jason, seeing Crystal's shape-shifting form. Brilliant. Sunday is not coming fast enough. Nanine from Maine. And then she does like a little PS. Lafayette plus Jesus can have a spinoff show. Solve crimes and save lives. I think Jesus is the real deal, and he didn't release Lafayette's mom, but his grandfather or other family members may be hunting for him and put him in danger. So do you think they are setting up for next season about being human magic?
I think they're setting up for next season to introduce, like, some witches and stuff like that. You know, That's what I think. I think that's why Holly is there, because she's a Wiccan, and yeah, I think that's what it's setting up.
I think so too.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you for that email. That thank was you, great.
Nanine. Nanine also sent us a voicemail that, or left us a voicemail that I want to play now too.
Hello, sisters. It's Nanine from Maine. Just wanted to share kind of my view of the Suki Bill relationship. Yes, tiresome. Neither one of them are my favorite characters. Eric and Lafayette, or Lala, are definitely, and Alfred Woodward is just unbelievable. But you have to remember, Suki is like a 16-year-old teenager with her first love. They're idiots. I mean, truly, deeply, they don't know any better, and no one can tell you that that guy you're with is good for nothing, is just using you, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, it's annoying because as adults, we know better, but because it is her first relationship, it makes sense that she's this kind of, well, dumb, like Tara said. She's not making wise choices, but it just makes sense because this is someone who has never been in a relationship before. The whole town thinks she's kind of weird or off or even maybe a little, you know, mentally retarded because of her telepathy. I mean, they don't know she's a telepath, but they just know there's something off about her. So, again, not my favorite characters, not my favorite relationship on the show, but I just wanted to put in my two cents there. And I'm hoping this will end quickly once Suki realizes that Bill has been lying and, you know, her heart gets broken just one time too many. So Zeus and Lafayette's relationship, I so hope that all the foreshadowing and sort of ominous hints that we're getting about Jesus maybe not being as honest as we want him to is just a way for Alan Ball to keep us all twitchy and suspicious and on our toes and nervous about, you know, the future of Lafayette's relationship. But I have to say, I absolutely love their relationship. The chemistry between the two actors is amazing. The flirting, I mean, Lafayette is so almost feminine and flirtatious, and the way he delivers the burger, the veggie burger with bacon, and oh, just all of that. You just, you remember how much you love Lafayette and how much he deserves having a decent relationship. And I agree with just about what everyone has been saying about Lafayette's mom. She is awesome. Steals the show, even though she has about, 2 minutes of screen time each time we see her. And I really loved her comment to Lafayette that they're coming for you, the vampires, the witches, the cats, and the dogs. I haven't seen any super long previews or anything like that, but I was thinking that now that Nan realizes that Russell is a threat, like Eric had said, regardless of the fact he gave them half a million, I can't remember how much money he had donated to the American Vampire League. But I'm wondering now they will give Eric the kind of backup and resources so he can hunt down Russell. I'm just hoping Nan gets to Eric before Eric does something stupid and suicidal and injure himself or something. But, you know, I look forward to that showdown because that's going to be awesome. And I love Russell. He is phenomenal. I'm not sure if he's going to get away to come back another time. I'd love to see him do that just because he's such, the actor is amazing and the character is just fantastic. But I think he's going to have to go because, you know, they can't leave it open for him to come back and, you know, raise a ruckus later on. But anyway, I can't believe there's only a couple episodes left and there's a lot to wrap up. And I think at the end we're going to have Bill and Suki apart, Eric injured from his showdown with Russell dead or gone far, far away, or, you know, buried in a coffin or staked, and hopefully we'll get a little bit more of a taste of what or who Holly is and what or who Jesus is if he's not just a cute nurse who's taking care of Lafayette's mother. But anyway, I'm loving True Blood, love your podcast, and it's my favorite podcast. I've tried all the others, and I have to agree that the sound quality is fantastic, which I really appreciate, especially on long car rides. But anyway, thank you, and I will talk to you later.
Well, thank you, Nanine, for that email and
voicemail.
Voicemail. And I agree with some of your comments. I'm tired of Sookie. I think everybody's tired of Sookie.
Well, but she makes a good point. This is Sookie's first love, first love. And the show has spanned 3 seasons, but in the reality of the show, it's only been, 3 months?
Well, yeah. It's only been several months.
She fell in love with him, had sex with him for the first time. Now she's finding all this crap out about him, and she's not going to give it up so easy, just like a young girl.
Well, he needs to write something, because first of all, Sookie is an adult on the show, and it's getting old. You know, it's just getting old. So hopefully by next season, she'll do something else, because it's getting old. And as far as Jesus and Lafayette's relationship, yeah, I like that too.
I
do think the actors have chemistry together, even if they weren't playing those characters. They just are very powerful actors, and they really, really complement each other. And when they was on their V trip, I thought the same thing about Ruby Jean's little Ruby Jean's comments about, you know, they're coming for you, Lafayette, the witches and the dogs and the cats and the dogs and everything. Yeah, she knew. She knows.
She knows something.
Well, she's too crazy for people to believe her, obviously.
I think Lafayette will start believing her now.
Yeah. Okay.
That was a great voicemail, and I'm sorry it was long. Nanette had gotten cut off, so I tried to splice it together. Mm-hmm. But we love the voicemail. Thank you, Nanine, for making sure we get good use out of it.
Yep.
Okay, our next email is from Myron. He says, "Hello, sisters. I hope you're well. Thank you so very much for the entertaining podcast last week. Sister J, I wouldn't ever think of reading you."
Yeah, right.
By the way, Sister J, I mentioned Miami Vice, the TV series, last podcast because in response to an email 2 shows ago, you talked about how police shows are using black people as sidekicks here lately. Mm-hmm. That is not a recent phenomenon. That was my point.
Oh, yeah. Mod Squad way back in the 60s, you know, yeah, they did the same thing.
In the last podcast, Sister J mentioned she didn't think a person is homophobic necessarily because they are challenged by gay portrayals in the show. This is in response to the online commentary Sister K mentioned about many people having problems this season with sex romantic scenes involving gay characters. As the sisters would say, first of all, Alan Ball, the writer of the show, is a gay man. The show's thinly veiled metaphor of vampires coming out of the coffin mirrors gays coming out of the closet.
Yep.
Vampires fighting for the right to marry, etc. I suppose we all have a little Maxine Fortenberry demon that resides in us. Part of the show's genius is allowing us to view the prejudice in Arlene and Tara, for example, and challenge us, the viewer, to take a look at how we feel about the issues raised in the show. Let us recognize this fact and work on how and why we feel the way we do when we twinge in our seats a little bit when we see 2 men, or 2 women for that matter, getting some nookie. Does it make a person homophobic? I will put it this way. If there was a referendum in your town about whether or not homosexuals should have the right to marry, how would you vote? Okay, politics hour is over. Although this was a very revealing episode, it was my least favorite of the season. Bill is on some straight bullshit. Who the hell drained Sookie in the back of that van if that wasn't him?
Yep.
She brought light back into his life? Give me an effing break. His ass is still lying to her about his mission to go to Bon Temps in the first place.
Yep.
If she believes his shit, I hope her ass rots in that damn dungeon. By the way, is anyone safe from Eric's basement torture chamber? It was difficult for me to see Lafayette in Eric's basement, but Sookie, her ass should have been down there episodes ago. Do fairies have any common sense at all, or is Sookie just the exception? If she couldn't read minds, would she be a carbon copy of Jason? Sisters, let me find out how Crystal is an interracial kitty cat. She sure... She sure is prettier.
Oh, that's funny.
She sure is prettier as a Black Panther, isn't she?
Oh, hell yeah.
Is there no Russian translation for gold digging whore?
Yeah.
I suppose there was more punch to it by saying it in English.
Oh, Lord. That is so funny. Marvin is funny.
Sam should have taken that weed or black cohosh from college. He needs to mellow out for sure.
Oh, that's funny.
The writers didn't have to make him a killer, though. Even though he sacrificed himself for Bontemps last season, I wonder how the writers are going to deal with his cold-blooded killings. If Tony, the male prostitute, would have caught himself up on the news, he would have...
Sorry, Byron.
I didn't get to read this beforehand, Myron.
Oh, my goodness.
If Tony, funny. The male prostitute, would have caught himself up on the news, he would have passed up on that $500 Franklin offered him. Thank you for your commitment.
Not Franklin, Russell.
Russell. Thank you for your commitment to the show by putting out these incredibly entertaining podcasts. This is Myron.
Oh, thank you, Myron, for that funny email.
Oh, Myron, you cracked me up. You cracked me up.
Oh, that's some good.
Hey, Tony
good
was
comments.
Too busy trying to get a fix from somewhere because he looks so strung out.
Black cohosh is not like weed.
I don't know what it is, but Sam needed to
black
smoke
cohosh
some of it.
It's like an herb like sage or burdock root or something else. You know, you go out in the woods and you pick that stuff and let it dry.
I remember all that shit.
Anyway.
But I like what you say, Myron, about. We have some little Maxine Fortenberry in all of us, and this show does make us all think about what we would do.
I don't, because it don't bother me. I mean, why would...
Well, not everyone is you.
No, but I'm just
Jay.
Saying. Well, but right, but I'm just saying that everybody doesn't have a little Maxine Fortenberry in them, because I don't.
No, okay, cool.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, Okay, our next email is from Idris.
Hi, Idris.
She says, where are you ladies? I am resorting to looking for new podcasts on old shows, Deadwood, in order to fill the space you guys have left in my podcasting world.
Yeah.
Deadwood was a good show.
It's okay.
It was good. Just like Carnival. I wish I would bring that
Carnival
back.
Was good.
Carnival was real good. Although the end of the second season was crazy.
Yeah, but it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
It was leading up to it.
See? Yeah. But that was a good show. She says, something occurred to me about Eric knowing Sookie's true nature. In the episode from season 2, where Sophie Ann is giving advice to Eric, she makes the comment, I hope you have not bitten, tasted her. We don't need another person falling in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of assumed that Eric did know what Sookie was, or had some idea, and had not wanted to tell her all this time. But it seems that it is only this season. Okay, approximately 4 to 7 days later in True Blood time.
Right.
That he actually finds out. Anyway, hope you guys are okay.
Yep.
Look forward to the next podcast when they come. I can't believe that there are only 2 more episodes to go for this season. Idris.
Well, thank you, Idris, for that email.
Thank you, Idris.
And, you know, that is a good point. I think Eric has known for longer than Bill.
I don't think so. Eric found out when... what's her name told him?
Well,
Hadley. Because Hadley says, I'll tell you. And Sophia was like, no, don't tell her.
That's what they showed us. But this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking back to when Sookie first went into that Fantasia with Bill. And he seemed to be real intrigued with her from that point on. And I think that he might have had maybe a suspicion, you know? And especially when they was in Dallas and she drank his blood and stuff.
Oh, well, he wanted her by then. Yeah, he's been wanting her since after they met.
Well, but that's what I mean. So I'm thinking maybe he was drawn to her because she's a fairy.
Well, yes, they've said that, that vampires are drawn to them. And without them knowing what she was, they didn't know why they were drawn to her. Mm-hmm. But now that it's out that she's a fairy, that's why they're drawn to her. Mm-hmm. You know, and then...
Yeah, you know, I know, but I don't know. It doesn't seem a stretch to me that he would have had some kind of inkling. Even when he was there with Sophie Ann that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he knew at that point, but he knows now, so...
Yeah, he knows now, so...
He's going to have to do something.
Okay.
Okay, and we had one comment on our iTunes page.
Oh, cool.
From Comic Nurse.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but they say, this podcast is awesome. This is the best TV show podcast I have ever heard. I love these women. Hilarious, real, smart, just the best.
Well, thank you, Comic Nurse.
5 stars.
We appreciate that very much.
Yes, we do. Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate all the comments that people take, you know, to send us and to go on iTunes and, like, actually rate us and
take
stuff.
Take the time.
Yeah, yeah. Take the time to do that.
So I'm bad
thank
at that.
You.
I need to do that with the podcast that I like also.
I do.
I haven't.
And when I have
but I will.
When I have an issue, I also post that as well.
We know.
Yes.
Jay. We know.
Because I feel like this. If you're not going to come correct, don't come at all. Don't put that bull out there. You know?
Okay, well, we thank everyone for all of their support and to keep listening after our long stint away. If you would like to send us, I know, because I feel like I have to say something to excuse our bad.
Well, we will be caught up. We're going to do another podcast tomorrow or the next day, so
to catch up on everything.
So we will be all caught up by, so you'll get 2 episodes this week.
Yes. Okay, well, if you would like to send us an email, you can do so at sisterspeak@gmail.com. our voicemail number is, I can't remember. It's 972-692-7341.
Okay.
You can leave a message on our website, which is SistersSpeak. Oh my goodness.
No, it
I'm
isn't.
Losing my mind. SistersInterview.com. And you can click the link on the Sister Speak podcast. We're both on Twitter at _SisterJ and _SisterK. And also on Facebook, where we've been getting a lot of great feedback at facebook.com/SisterSpeak podcast. That's it for now. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next time.